NBC Monitor News on the Hour. Brought to you by Ford with 50 new models for 1970. Ford is the going thing. Here is Lou Wood.
Four railroad shopcraft unions are going to court at this hour seeking an injunction against a nationwide lockout by the rail industry. The industry's action was triggered when the unions struck the Union Pacific last midnight. The industry is preparing to shut down all the nation's railroads as a retaliation. The national lockout, first in U.S. rail history, is said to be a move to prevent the unions from carrying out a divide-and-conquer policy of selective strikes. The chief union negotiator, William Wimpesinger, said the lockout is illegal, a violation of the Interstate Commerce and Railway Labor Acts, and charged the railroad industry with trying to create a national crisis so Congress would intervene and impose compulsory arbitration. The White House is studying the situation, and a statement is expected shortly. Meanwhile, Illinois officials are taking action on their own. That story from Bill Lindsay in Chicago.
Illinois Attorney General William Scott plans to seek an injunction in circuit court in Chicago this afternoon to prevent the railroads operating in this state from carrying out their threatened lockout. Scott said his staff is preparing the action now and a judge is standing by to hear the appeal. He had this comment on chances for success with the action.
We have won eight of the last nine cases we've brought against the railroads to keep them in operation. Here, of course, we've got a very serious health problem and also a safety problem. What happens when they pour these hundreds of thousands of extra cars onto the highways of our nation caused by the strike? They're already jammed up. I think it's serious enough that we have to take emergency action.
Attorney General Scott of Illinois said the railroads have promised him a six-hour advance warning before any lockout takes effect. Bill Lindsay, NBC News, Chicago.
Another transportation strike is already underway. 3,500 ground employees of National Airlines walked off the job at midnight when talks over wage issues broke down. Negotiations resumed today in Washington. Conflicting views on a commando raid on the Suez Canal. That story and more news after this from Ford.
Now your Ford dealer ignores his lawyer's advice and presents Rowan and Martin.
Hi, Dan Rowan here. You can save money now during your Ford dealer's white sale. For a limited time, he's got specially equipped Galaxy 500s. Now America's lowest priced, full-sized V8 hardtop.
Okay, bring the juggler in.
Now, what's a juggler got to do with reduced prices?
Well, you gotta admit, it makes an interesting visual.
Oh.
You see, Luigi balances 14 dinner plates on his nose while we talk about Galaxy hardtops and sedans.
Okay, Luigi.
Doo-doo, what's a visual? This is radio.
I didn't know that.
Now, folks, with these Galaxy 500s, you can get options like automatic transmission, power steering, white walls, and wheel covers.
Okay, Luigi, drop everything.
Ding-dong, now look what you did.
Poor Aunt Phoebe.
Who's Aunt Phoebe?
Well, she's the one who's always picketing for the recognition of China.
What's so funny?
Well, Aunt Phoebe will never recognize her China now.
Say Ford dealers white sale, Dick.
Ford dealers white sale, Dick.
Very good.
Thank you.
Once again, Lou Wood.
An Israeli spokesman said a company of Egyptian commandos tried to cross the Suez Canal near Ismailia today, but were forced to withdraw to their own lines. Tel Aviv reports said 10 to 20 of the attackers were wounded. Cairo's Middle East news agency quoted Egyptian military spokesman as saying the commandos returned without losses after destroying a number of Israeli vehicles and killing their occupants. North Vietnamese troops remain entrenched in their bunkers in Tainan province despite shelling and bombing by U.S. forces. The battle with units of the 25th Infantry Division, 65 miles northwest of Saigon, has lasted 2 days. Losses so far, one American killed and two wounded. Enemy casualties are unknown. In Europe, the Western Allies have lodged protests with the Russians over East German harassment of traffic between West Germany and West Berlin. The ambassadors of the United States, Britain, and France delivered formal notes to their Soviet counterpart in East Berlin today, charging the interference was a violation of their free access to the city. More in a moment.
Let's lay it on the line. Your Ford dealer's having a white sale, and right now you can get a car with a lot of the special equipment you want at a special low package price. One featured white sale car is Torino, a special edition of your Ford dealer's lowest priced hardtop. I said hardtop. Complete with carpeting, white walls, wheel covers, and dual racing mirrors. With special savings on a vinyl roof if you want it, and a big choice of other options. Fact. Torino. White sale priced for a limited time only. At your Ford dealers now.
There were two ceremonies at the White House today. Dr. Arthur Burns was sworn in as the 10th chairman of the Federal Reserve Board, and the president's son-in-law, David Eisenhower, was sworn into the Naval Reserve. He'll enter an officer's training program after he graduates from Amherst College in June. David's entry into the Navy forsakes the family army tradition of his father and grandfather. President Nixon served in the Navy. Meanwhile, the president's elder daughter, Tricia, who is at the family residence at Key Biscayne, Florida, has come down with a case of the German measles. Once again, the hour's top story, four railroad shopcraft unions are seeking a court injunction against the nationwide rail shutdown announced for tonight. Lou Wood, NBC News, reporting.
Listen again on the hour when Ford, with 50 new models for 1970, brings you NBC Monitor News. And Herb Alpert with Maltese Melody on Monitor. Morgan here. Well, sir, as if a railroad strike isn't enough, there was bad news this week from Paris. Long skirts. All the top French designers seem to be in on this new conspiracy to cover up the knees again. Some are even dropping hems to the ankle. I suppose they're trying to make the ladies buy new stuff and throw away all those short little dresses they've been wearing. Well, you don't have to. You can wear them as blouses, which is about what they look like anyway. I like them. Our New York mayor and philosopher, John Lindsay, had this comment on longer skirts. It'll make the girls run slower. Daya La Daya by The Carnival.
Oh, Train's late again.
Yeah. Hey, what's in the package? Looks heavy.
Oh, a bust of me. Gonna send it to my girl in Peoria for Valentine's Day.
That'll cost a fortune. You should send an FTD love bundle instead.
Love bundle?
Yeah. A special florist's trans-world delivery arrangement. It's made to last. So you can have it delivered right now and turn Valentine's Day into Valentine's Week.
But she lives in Peoria.
So does an FTD florist. They're everywhere. And everyone is a real pro. Just get in touch with one right here in town. But do it early, because the love bundle will last right through Valentine's Day. Then you can relax and find somebody to take that crazy statue off your hands.
Your love should be there even when you can't. Call or visit an FTD florist. Ask for the love bundle. And tell him to send it the FTD way.
This is not just a statue. It's a bust.
This week, Sandy Koufax, the former Dodger star, was named the baseball athlete of the decade in an Associated Press poll. Well, I'd certainly like to be named something of the decade. I suppose that's what it would be. Something of the decade. How are you, Mr. Decade? We're going to hear about a 21-year-old kid who has a chance of being hockey athlete of the next decade. Here's Joe Garagiola for Monitor Sports.
McLean's is a national magazine in Canada, and on the cover there was a picture of Bobby Orr. Inside there was a story that said, Bobby Orr is a swift, powerful skater with instant acceleration, instinctive anticipation, a quick, accurate shot, remarkable composure, an unrelenting ambition, a solemn dedication, humility, and modesty. That the Boston Bruins' outstanding defenseman should be described that way doesn't really come as a surprise. What might surprise you is that the article appeared when Bobby Orr was just 16 years old. Unfortunately, there is a tendency among people to remember all too well the case of the highly touted young athlete who doesn't live up to his advance notices. So it's nice to hear about a kid who got the pressure that goes with a big buildup and then lived up to it. Bobby Orr first started to attract the attention of National Hockey League clubs long before the article in McLean's. It started when Bobby was only 5'2" and weighed 110 pounds and was 12 years old. By the time he was 14, there were four clubs after him. Finally that year, he signed to play amateur hockey, and in the process of signing became the property of the Boston Bruins. The team he played with was located 3 hours from home, so Bobby's mother said he could play with the team, but not practice. And in a league filled with players 19 and 20 years old, that lack of practice really hurt 14-year-old Bobby. He only made the second All-Star team that year. At 17, and still an amateur, Orr would read in the papers things like the statement by Boston general manager Hap Ems, who said, "Right now, I wouldn't trade Bobby Orr even up for the whole Toronto Maple Leafs team." Do you think a quote like that might put a little pressure on a young man who had never played a game of National League hockey? Now Bobby Orr is 21, and the jury is in on what kind of a hockey player he is. What he'll eventually become, nobody can say. But it's enough to know what he is. For one thing, in last week's All-Star game, Bobby Orr was the only unanimous choice. Last year, in 67 games, he set a new league scoring mark for defensemen. This year, he broke his own record in the 42nd game of the year. And speaking of that All-Star game, the winning goal was scored by Gordie Howe. And you have to wonder what Bobby Orr thinks when he sees Howe play. At 21, Bobby Orr is the star of the future. And Howe is only 3 years younger than Bobby Orr's father. This is Joe Garagiola for Monitor Sports.
At 16 past the hour, you're on the Monitor Beacon.
Do you want and need a high school diploma? The YMCA Evening High School announces the beginning of its spring semester on February 5th. Admission is limited to men and women 18 years of age and over who are serious about furthering their education. Classes in all academic subjects are planned for adults who've had an interruption in their regular academic training. All courses are accelerated so that students can complete requirements for the academic high school diploma in the shortest possible time. The YMCA Evening High School is fully accredited by the University of the State of New York. Regents examinations are given. Spanish, French, typing, shorthand, bookkeeping, speech, general psychology, and reading improvement are other courses offered by the school. A special class in real estate to prepare you for the broker's examination is also given. For full information about these courses, call the YMCA Evening School.
WNBC, New York.
Trains, trains, we're all affected by what happens with railroads. And we here in the East have been wondering what's going to be, and particularly in the far West. Here's a report from Gene Dicardo, NBC News in San Francisco.
Here on the West Coast, Union Pacific officials are faced with getting passengers to their destinations before the line is fully crippled and moving livestock and perishables over the almost 10,000 miles of Union Pacific Railroad track. Pickets have appeared in Portland, San Francisco, Los Angeles. West Coast spokesman for UP, Earl Arnop, outlined the size of the crisis.
2,400 Union Pacific employees in Los Angeles area have been idled by the system-wide strike against the R9800-mile 13-state railroad. 31,000 UP employees are affected. Ordinarily, we have about 100 trains running at any one time on our system, including as many as 18 passenger trains. Virtually all these trains have come to a halt. Our westbound Dome Liner passenger train, City of Los Angeles from Chicago and Kansas City, with around 150 people on board, is being operated from Las Vegas by supervisory personnel and will arrive here about 4:30 this afternoon. One train with livestock aboard has been delivered here and the animals unloaded at the packing plant. All other trains with livestock have reached major terminals where the animals were unloaded, fed, and watered. Perishable shipments also have been set out at major terminals so that the cars can be serviced and the fruit and vegetables and processed food preserved.
A West Coast Union Pacific official with a current status report. Gene Dicardo, NBC News, San Francisco.
Stay right here on NBC.
And here's a little tip for homeowners who are going through a noisy time with a lot of pipe banging and clanking. You ought to go down to the cellar and check the pipes. There should be a pipe clamp at every other joist. Otherwise, they just ain't properly supported, and you get your banging and clanking. Here's a tip to remember when you're working around machinery. Keep a vice grip handy to help you pull cotter pins without first straightening the prongs. That mighty ton grip and those knurled jaws of a vice grip just won't slip, and cotter pins come out easily. There's really no end to the number of uses you'll find for vice grip. That handy tool that's really five tools in one. Super pliers, wrench, hand vise, clamp, and wire cutter. But not your ordinary pliers or wrench, mind you. Vice grip locks on to work with a ton grip, yet releases with a flick of your finger. Stop in at your nearest store where tools are sold and buy yourself a vice grip, the most useful hand tool you can own. They cost under $4, and it's the best $4 investment you'll ever make. You'll recognize vice grip. It's the one that looks like a pliers with a bolt in its right leg. Make sure you get the original locking wrench, Vice Grip, made of special alloy steel for the toughest use. And you'll find the name Vice Grip stamped right on the tool. Get a Vice Grip and make things easier on yourself.
Hello, New York. This is Monte Carlo. Under the patronage of Her Serene Highness Princess Grace of Monaco, this is Dieter Friedrich for NBC Monitor, bringing you jet set sounds from the Overseas Monitor Discotheque. Well, here is France's most popular singing group. They're 10. Their name is Les Compagnons de la Chanson, and they have arranged the Vanity Fairs early in the morning to Chaque jour à la même heure, which means every day, chaque, every jour, day, à la même heure, at the same time.
La vie continue toujours. La vie, c'est de l'eau. chaque jour à la même heure over here on the continent with Les Compagnons de la Chanson. This was your NBC Monte Carlo monitor, Dieter Friedrich, with the jet set record from Europe's glamorous principality of Monaco. Merci beaucoup, grazie mille. Au revoir. Arrivederci.
What's with him? Say, if NBC has a representative there, it should be me. That's the way to live, Doc. Hang around for a year, make one little two-minute recording, and you're a hero. Okay, here come the big people.
Good morning. Welcome to Pan American.
The following comments were recorded on the world's first 747, Pan Am 747.
Oh, this is a fantastic flight, of course. The plane is just something that you don't know about until you really get into it. It's great.
I think the biggest single feature is all the legroom.
You're not afraid of bumping your head on the luggage rack and things of this nature?
Oh, this is very sumptuous, isn't it? It's so spacious. There is your car.
No, I'm extremely impressed with this flight. This is the plane of the 70s for sure.
Right, I'm 6'3", and with my knees, you know, it's kind of rough on other planes and things, but with 747 is different. In my opinion, Pan Am's what's happening.
You've been listening to the plane that speaks for itself. Pan Am 747, the plane with all the room in the world. For reservations to Europe and the Caribbean, call a Pan Am travel agent and ask for a Pan Am 747.
A monitor click pick of the week. Bobby Sherman's new one, Easy Come, Easy Go.
I'm taking a shade out of the sun. Whatever may think that I was number one, I ought to know, easy come, easy go, I'm sitting it out, I'm spinning the dial, just thinking about the chump I've been, I have to smile, didn't I know, easy come and easy go.
Nigeria, what is the future of that country? Here's an NBC News report from George Montgomery in Lagos.
One knowledgeable foreigner says that if Nigeria can't make the grade economically, what other black African country can make it? Though Nigeria is rich in cocoa, cotton, and tin, the observer was thinking primarily about oil. Oil played a role in the Civil War, and now that the war is over and Rebel Biafra has been crushed, oil should play an even greater part in the future of Nigeria. Nigeria is blessed with a lot of high-quality oil and relative closeness to West European refineries since the Suez Canal is closed to tankers from Kuwait and Saudi Arabia. Nigeria should become a major oil exporter quite soon. By 1972 or 1973, with the offshore and other wells expected to be producing 2 million barrels daily, Nigeria should be bigger in oil than Iraq and approaching Kuwait. By that time, oil revenue to the Nigerian government should be greater than the government's revenue from all other sources. With such a big income, Nigeria will have a chance for development that no other black African country has. Many observers say that with much of the oil in what was Biafra, this was what motivated French support for the rebels. The French allegedly hoped for special Biafran concessions. Observers also say that the presence of a lot of oil in Biafra made federal Nigeria more determined than ever to win the civil war. With the fighting over, British and American oil men are working hard at repairing war damage and getting production and profits back on the road to major growth. George Montgomery, NBC News, Lagos, reporting for Monitor.
Yesterday, there was a report that the CBS correspondent in Nigeria, Morley Safer, was expelled from the country. Government authorities in Lagos refused to renew his visa. Let's hope that's just an isolated incident and that Monitor can continue to bring you news from Nigeria as we do from the rest of the world. Cowboy for Andy and Teicher. Morgan back after a breather.
NBC 1970. Ba 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 ba.
Morgan, same year. And this week the 1970s look in, well, the 1970s look in White House policemen took the country by surprise. Did you see this stuff in the paper, the new uniforms? White ceremonial dress coats trimmed with gold braid, stand-up collars, black gun holsters, shiny peaked hats. It's not really a uniform, it's a costume. It looked like something left over from Transylvania. In fact, if they put a pumpkin in the window at the White House, you'd have thought it was Halloween. If I were a carpenter, I wouldn't make clothes. Johnny Cash and June Carter.
If I were a carpenter and you were a lady, would you marry me anyway? Would you have my baby?
If you were a carpenter and I were a lady, I'd marry you anyway. I'd have your baby.
If a tinker was my trade, would I still find you?
I'd be carrying the pot you made, following behind you.
Save your love through loneliness, save your love through sorrow. I gave you my onlyness, give me your tomorrow. Above me, if I were a carpenter. and you were a lady,
I'd marry you anyway. I'd have your baby.
Save your love through loneliness. Save your love through sorrow. I gave you my loneliness.
Much of President Nixon's State of the Union address was devoted to the problem of pollution. Congress is studying the problem, too, and the leader of that effort to control pollution is Senator Edmund Muskie of Maine, a state which has a particularly interesting problem coming up at a town called Machiasport, where if they put in the oil tanker dock they're thinking of putting in, they could ruin the fishing from Boston to Halifax with one little accident. So the senator is very much interested. He's the subject of this week's Capitol Hill Monitor profile, and here's poor old Duke in Washington.
Edmund Muskie first got interested in the pollution problem back in the 1940s when hardly anyone else was interested. His interest developed after some of Maine's streams became increasingly contaminated.
I think the principal pollution sources in these waters were the paper mills. In northern Maine, the starch factories connected to the potato economy. And even, of course, in the days of the timber barons, the log driving of years ago was a polluter because the logs were driven on the streams, and much of the debris from the logs and even the logs themselves found its way to the bottom of the streams and continued to consume oxygen long after the log driving days. It was these first threats, you see, to the quality of Maine's environment that caused people in the 40s to get concerned.
In Congress, Muskie has been a leader for 10 years in efforts to get the federal government to give more help to the states in fighting pollution. Current programs are directed largely at cleaning up what's already been done. What's needed even more, Muskie thinks, are tough measures to control future pollution.
So far as cleanup is concerned, of water, for example, we can do that by spending money, taxpayers' money, by forcing industries to spend their money. And there's technology available, and it's a question of expense. But preventive medicine or cleanup medicine can be awfully expensive stuff. And so we need some preventive.
He takes a skeptical view of the program proposed by President Nixon, wondering whether the administration is willing to spend the necessary money.
But what we need to do is to prod ourselves, as well as presidents and congresses and state governments, to do a better job. We don't know what he's going to propose by way of control legislation or enforcement legislation, new ways of insisting upon higher standards of performance by private polluters, and we'll have to wait and hear about that.
Muskie was born in 1914 at Rumford, Maine, the son of a tailor. Young Ed was an A student, but his dad never believed in excessive praise.
He was a good parent, and he insisted on performance. He certainly didn't neglect us, but he didn't use praise as a method, you see, except very rarely. And so, and I think that was, in my case at least, a stimulus. I just worked harder to do even better, you know, in the hope that at some point I might get his approval, and eventually I did.
One story is that Muskie's father finally gave his son a smile after he'd become the first Democratic governor in 20 years. Muskie has a rather simple philosophy where his own five sons and daughters are concerned.
Well, what I tell my own children is that all I ask is that they do the best they can, whatever that produces. If it produces A's, that's frosting on the cake. But if it's D's, if it's the best they can do, then I'll give them marks. Now, I don't know. Maybe that won't work. They're not getting good marks, some of them, so maybe it isn't the best way.
The man from Maine, Democratic Senator Edmund Muskie. Paul Duke for Monitor on Capitol Hill.
Here's a Monitor pick, new by Mary Hopkins, Emma Harbor.
In a giant lemon tree, oh, my friend and me, both climbed down and crossed the sand until we reached the sea. And the waves come high, high as we sway and dance. And the way I feel makes me want to take a chance. Sing a song.
those were the days, girl, lolling around. Mary Hopkin on the monitor beacon.
There's a lot more to Wetson's Hamburger Restaurants than just hamburgers. One of our most popular products is our chicken, our Wetson's Golden Southern Fried Chicken. We discovered a certain kind of plumper, juicier chicken in Maine, and they're delivered fresh daily to every Wetson's. Then we Southern fry them crisp and golden in our special seasoning, a seasoning that only Wetson's has. Wetson's Golden Southern Fried Chicken. Crisp on the outside, tender and juicy on the inside. You can get our golden chicken in a variety of ways. Anything from a snack to a huge bucket of 12 big pieces, enough for a family of six. The next time you're in Wetson's, try our Golden Southern Fried Chicken. Remember, there's a lot more to Wetson's Hamburger Restaurants than just hamburgers.
Save $1 on a large bucket of Wetson's chicken. Clip the coupon that appears in this Sunday's news. Take the coupon to any Wetson's.
WNBC, AM and FM, New York.
You're traveling through the weekend world with Monitor. R.B. Greaves, and always something there to remind me.
I walk along the city streets. You used to walk along with me. And every step I take recalls how much in love we used to be. Oh, how can I forget you? How it felt to kiss and hold you tight. Oh, how can I forget you, baby? Oh, baby, there's always something that you remind me. Always something that you remind me. I was born to love you, and I will never be free. You always be a part of me.
Seven speaks for itself. Just listen to these Pan Am passengers.
I thought it was glorious. I'm so big, I love big spaces. It just gives you an entirely new feeling about traveling, I think.
A fantastic width compared to a normal aircraft.
Much more of a homey atmosphere. It's not quite so formal somehow. Being able to walk around and talk to people, and it's very convenient.
What I appreciate also is the big, big screen for the movie in flight.
Well, I would say that Pan Am 747 has given the tourist rider an opportunity to enjoy a little bit more of a first-class type of flight.
Our only worry is that our company, when they see how comfortable it is, will suffer flying first class. That's the only...
You've been listening to the plane that speaks for itself. Pan Am 747, the plane with all the room in the world. For reservations to Europe and the Caribbean, call a Pan Am travel agent and ask for a Pan Am 747.
This is Jim Simpson speaking for Monitor Sports. Have you been keeping up with your skiing? I don't mean do you ski, nor am I getting involved in the continuing and raging argument of which is better, skiing in the East or the West or in Canada or in Europe. I'm talking about ski racing. Jean-Claude Keeley has turned professional, but the weekly amateur ski races in both Eastern and Western Europe go on. Our American team has been on the continent since shortly after Thanksgiving Day, and our girls, Barbara Cochran, Judy Noggle, and Kiki Cutter, have won some important races. Our men have not won any downhills or slaloms yet, but their coach says they are improving rapidly and should be ready for a good effort when the FIS championships begin. The FIS championships are held every 4 years, falling exactly between Olympic years. Next Saturday, the FIS Alpine championships will begin in the Val Gardena section of Italy, a valley nestled in the Dolomites near the Austrian border, where there's more German spoken than Italian. It will be a jet-set, snow-covered, Walt Disney-like exciting scene, and who knows, perhaps the Americans will come home with a championship. And they certainly will come home with an idea of what must be done between now and the 1972 Winter Games in Japan. NBC Television will cover the FIS Championships beginning next Sunday, and of course, the Winter Olympics also of 1972. But behind the excitement of championship skiing in Italy, there lurks the reality that some are asking the competitors to turn professional and begin a professional skiing league, forsaking amateur racing, and that means the Winter Olympic Games. It will be a silent battle fought in hotel rooms and restaurants, not on the slopes, with the professional and amateur opponents not listed on the program, but both lobbying hard with the ski champions, trying to convince them either to turn pro or to remain amateur. From Italy, the FIS championships move on to the Tatras of Czechoslovakia, where in the 11th century, good King Wenceslas looked out on the snows deep, crisp, and even. But there's no hint of professionalism creeping into the Nordic section of the FIS championships. Apparently, no one is willing to pay big money for cross-country skiers or ski jumpers. But the thrills and beauty will be there in Czechoslovakia, and so will NBC Sports. This is Jim Simpson speaking for Monitor Sports.
The Lettermen with their medley of Traces and Memories.
Memories pressed between the pages of my mind. Sweeping through the ages just like wine. Quiet thoughts come floating down and settle softly through the ground like gold of autumn leaves around my feet. I touch them and they burst apart with sweet memories. Covered now with life's increases, take its joy in hand. Memories in bits and pieces, traces of love long ago that didn't work out right. Traces of love. In simple ways and quiet nights and gentle days with you. Memories press between the pages of my mind. Memories sweeten through the ages just like wine. Close my eyes and say a prayer.
United Cerebral Palsy Fund, you can help, you can bring hope to thousands of children and adults struggling with the problem of cerebral palsy. Please give as generously as you can. And Day of Anger, Henry Morgan and Happiness, and more Monitor after the news.
World news and late information, next on this Monitor station. World news and late information, next on this Monitor station.
Poverty makes people sick. Literally, physically, and mentally sick. It stunts growth, retards minds, wastes bodies, and kills people. The plight of America's 300,000 migrant farm workers is particularly bad. Because they lead a migratory life, these farm workers are not protected by minimum wage laws, workmen's compensation, or unemployment benefits. Because they don't meet the residency requirements of any state, they can't apply for health and welfare services. Because of the transient nature of their existence, their children only receive a smattering of education, trapping them in their return to a new cycle of poverty. Vista volunteers working with these migrant workers, sharing the misery of their lives, are bringing help. They're helping to renovate dilapidated homes. They're getting landlords to install plumbing. They're getting people who've never seen a doctor in their lives into health care programs. They're educating children. They haven't solved the plight of the migrant workers yet, but they have made a start. They have created hope where once there was no hope. Find out more about Vista, Wright Vista, Washington, D.C.
WNBC, AM and FM, New York.